The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler, and there's no such thing as fake towny handrap. And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. This week, we're excited to bring you the truth about politics, sports, business, sex, millennials, Canadians, and Star Wars. It's a great show, and we'll leave you pondering that important question. Given what we know now, would Jeb Bush have still invaded the 2000 election? We'll never know. But this show will help you through those sleepless nights when you realize that we, humanity, all of us, we stand on the shoulders of idiots. This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
There it is.
Cuba says it will share a vaccine with the United States for lung cancer. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
Leave cancer alone!
So they can make a vaccine for lung cancer, but they can't have a Chevy after 1958.
I didn't hear it on Dr. Oz. I don't believe it.
Ah, shit, I got Lou Gehrig.
You know what else Cuba has a cure for? Freedom!
I wish that Castro had shared his vaccine for blowing JFK's head apart.
Oh, now I can't get lung cancer? Thanks, Obama.
They're going to give us the cure for lung cancer. And cigars!
Hey, Lucy, I'm cured!
Chapter 1.
This is MSNBC Midday. Video has emerged of an unarmed black teenager in Regent, Pennsylvania, dead after an encounter with the police. We have reporter Mark Garrison here. Mark, what do we know so far?
17-year-old Laquan Jackson might have been an honor student who would have become a civil engineer someday. Probably. His family says he literally never did anything wrong. We do not know what happened with police, but we have this objective analysis from a man in Laquan's neighborhood.
Hey, man! The police killed him after f***ing him!
Chapter 2.
Fox News has learned that Laquan Jackson was a self-mutilator and deliberately cut himself at least once. Could he have also harmed himself in this case and shot himself from 10 feet away? Fox has questions.
Well, that certainly is a question. Plus, photos emerged of Laquan Jackson on a high school field trip to the American Air Power Museum, where he stood next to a 15,000-pound World War II howitzer. Could he have been aiming that 7-ton howitzer at police 3 months later?
That also is a question.
Chapter 3.
On a lighter side of the news, police in Regent, Pennsylvania, where Laquan Jackson was killed, are required to stop young black men and take all their money to pay for repairs to the turnpike. The mayor defended this policy as necessary.
So we should let the turnpike fall apart? We have pride in this town.
Chapter 4.
We're now on the second day of rioting in Regent, Pennsylvania, after Laquan Jackson's funeral. CNN correspondent Jake Pratt is on the scene. Jake, how's it look?
I've got someone yelling behind me. This might explode into violence.
They're treating us like fools. They're treating us like fools! The Steelers could have had the best defense in the league, and look at them! They're blowing it!
Well, I blame the front office.
Who else are you going to blame? They got all the players.
I don't know if this is protest-related, so back to you in the studio, and I'll let you know if this turns into a race riot of any kind.
Thanks, Jake.
You know, I just don't understand what these rioters think they're accomplishing. They could make their points so much better with peaceful demonstrations like the one on Thursday.
There was a peaceful demonstration Thursday?
Yeah, we didn't cover it, but that's not the point.
Chapter 5.
A few corrections here on Local News 10. There were actually 5 officers involved in the Laquan Jackson incident instead of 3 as previously reported. The bullet wounds were not where we said they were. The crime scene photo we've been using is from the Kent State shooting in 1970. Laquan Jackson's name is actually Jackson Laquan. And the picture we've been using for him is a 30-year-old photo of actor Wesley Snipes.
Chapter 6.
The governor of Pennsylvania had this statement today.
This has been a rough week for our state, but this has prompted a national conversation that can help police better understand the public, help the public better understand police, and ensure that this kind of tragedy will never strike
again. Chapter 7.
Tragedy strikes in a Missouri suburb as an unarmed 17-year-old black teenager is mistaken for an armed 52-year-old white paraplegic. Here's a report.
The police killed him after f***ing him.
I want everyone to make a lot of noise. I want everybody to make a lot of noise. It's a parade and a noise.
Are you a woman always on the go?
Constantly out and about? Fucking every guy in sight?
Then you know how hard it can be when that time of the month slows you down.
Introducing Trampons, a tampon specifically made for tramps, sluts, and whores.
Trampons are specifically designed to combat the toughest periods along with any post-abortion leakage.
And in case that Planned Parenthood doctor didn't get it all, the Trampon has specific chemicals that can kill even the most stubborn fetus.
Plus, it has built-in antibiotics that will prevent the stickiest STDs.
Black eye in, chlamydia out.
But the best part about Trampon is that you don't have to remove it during sex. The Trampon, unlike any other tampon, is penis-friendly and actually enhances the sexual experience if you are participating with a horse, mouse, or any other four-legged mammal.
Thank you, Trampon! Do not use the Trampon if you are purposely pregnant, breastfeeding humans, or have any self-respect. Side effects may include humiliation, low self-esteem, and becoming disowned from your family.
Trampon, for that little whore inside us all.
In anticipation of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you original extended scenes of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Darth Vader, only you could be so bold. The Imperial Senate will never sit for this. When they find out you've attacked a diplomatic...
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed aboard this ship by rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you.
I do not know what you're talking about. I am a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor! Take her away!
Holding her is dangerous. If word gets out, it could generate sympathy for the rebellion in the Senate.
I have traced the rebel spies to her. Now she is my only link to find their secret base.
She'll die before she tells you anything.
Leave that to me. Send a distress signal and then inform the Senate that all aboard were killed.
Yes, sir.
Hey, asshole!
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to the other shithead who's telling Darth Vader that he's an idiot.
No, I wasn't. I was merely advising him that she's a risk.
Where do you get the balls?
I'm doing my job. As an officer of the Empire, I'm doing my duty to tell this guy...
Jackass! Do you see what he's doing to the dudes in the other room? He's lifting them a foot off the ground and strangling the shit out of them. With one hand!
Jesus.
Yeah, and I hope you don't doubt his dark side of the Force stuff. He gets really pissed off, but he stays calm. And then he chokes the shit out of you with two fingers from across the goddamn room!
Get the fuck out of here.
And that's with Grand Moff Tarkin in the room. In the room! And that's the dude who controls him!
Right. How long is that going to last? That guy is like 100.
Exactly. So watch your ass. Be a yes man. Whatever he says, just tell him he has amazing ideas. Kiss Sith ass.
You're right. I'll remember that. I just got promoted to be a commander. I'll yes him up and take responsibility for everything. It shouldn't be too hard. I just have to find little spaceships and shit. Make sure nothing escapes. You know, easy stuff.
This is the city. Each year, millions of thought explorers come here to create dynamic content. When a customer connects to a brand, they get stoked. Sometimes they get hyper stoked. When that happens, I go to work. I carry an iPhone 6 Plus.
The content you're about to consume is literally true. The names have been changed to protect brand identity. The New Millennials.
It was Wednesday, March 18th. It was epic in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of the confusing tattoo division. Our thought leader is Troy. My partner is Tatiana. My name is Crystal, spelled with a K. We got like a text. It was Troy. He wanted to see us in his idea room next to the vision board, ASAP. You wanted some FaceTime?
Awesome. Thanks for coming. I'm pumped.
You need to vision this PowerPoint presentation. We got a tip someone was making fun of Kickstarter.
Uh-huh. Where are they now?
At the Alston Yacht Club.
You mean that artisanal cocktail place on Sunset?
No, Tatiana. You're thinking of Alumet, which is closing on June 23rd.
For literal? The Alston Yacht Club serves shishito peppers and pork belly with a cherry coke reduction on a bed of feta gratin. For reals.
I know. Alumet's approach is totes inventive and seasonal. Innovative, yet somehow familiar. In your face, yet subtle. Rustic, yet elegant. Left, yet right. Up, yet down. No, yet yes.
Is it just me, or is anyone else here horny?
Tatiana did oral on Troy while he Instagrammed it, and I live tweeted. It was now 1 p.m. We decided to Uber it over to the Alston Yacht Club. Tatiana verbiaged first.
I'm Tatiana, and this is my partner, Crystal.
With a K.
Okay, which one's Crystal again?
I am.
And which one's Tatiana?
I am.
Okay, look, I can't tell you apart.
OMG, dude. We're totes different. LOL, etc., etc.
Fuck, stop it. That's irritating even to me. Anyway, I'm Jared. I'll be your food administrator.
Never mind that now. Is this the Alston Yacht Club?
Yeah, but only until May 7th. Then we're Prado. Prado will feature almond bowls and crudité topped with atomized candy cap bitters and smoked salt.
Uh-huh.
Until it closes July 7th. Then we're opening up an artisanal noodle place.
Called?
No name.
Why not?
No, that's what it's called. No name.
I don't get it.
That's okay, because we're closing it before anyone knows about it.
Relevance. We got a tip. You were running a Kickstarter campaign that was really getting people stoked.
Awesome. That's right. Listen up. It's a Kickstarter campaign that will help fund the construction of a motorcycle ratcheting lever starting mechanism you can use with your foot.
I don't get it.
Don't get what?
Kickstarter. You're using Kickstarter to fund the construction of a Kickstarter.
Tits. Dude, it's not funny.
So what? My impression score rose 15% among 18 to 34-year-olds.
Let me tell you something, mister. Don't ever use a Kickstarter campaign as a joke. Kickstarter's for serious issues, like raising $60,000 to buy a van for your band when you're already independently wealthy. You want humor? Try GoFundMe.
For literal, dude. On flick.
Okay. Anyone want to listen to Drake while having butt sex?
The content you have just consumed is true. The names have been changed to protect brand identity.
On March 22nd, a TED Talk was held in the lobby of Chango's Coffee Roasters across the street from Flounce, the clothing boutique. In a moment, the results of that talk. Jared's Kickstarter campaign to help fund the construction of a Kickstarter was deemed way too meta and therefore an epic fail. Jared is now listening to Drake while having butt sex.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hi, I'm NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
I'm National Rifle Association CEO Wayne LaPierre.
And I'm former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
And we want to talk to you about
Extremes.
Extremes is the once-a-day dietary supplement which helps average leaders,
spokesmen, and flackies
distract the public from the real, serious issues for which they're responsible and become very, very rich doing so.
Just pop an Extremes in the morning and go about your business in a very, very extreme way.
Before you know it, you'll be doing completely inexplicable, irrational, and downright dangerous things.
Maybe you'll ex post facto change a penalty for a minor infraction from $25,000 to $1 million, a four-game suspension and two draft picks.
Maybe you'll demand blind preschoolers be given concealed carry permits.
Maybe you'll invade Iraq.
Before you know it, you, and only you, and definitely not the powerful moneyed interests you represent, will be getting called names like incompetent,
insane,
forgettable.
Influential websites will write think pieces about you.
News networks will convene panels to discuss your body language.
Your therapist will write a children's book about you called Goodnight Loon.
But it will all be about Y-O-U.
You get to take all the criticism and attention away from the people paying you a fortune to take all the criticism and attention away from them.
They'll reward you for taking the bullets for them. Metaphorical bullets, of course. Real bullets are for soldiers who cannot get a deferment and toddlers in Walmart.
Want to distract from a tax-exempt organization which basically encourages head trauma and domestic violence amongst the young black males you spend weeks displaying, measuring, and pawing like pieces of meat at an 18th century slave auction? Have a preposterous non-scandal consume the airwaves with...
Extremes.
Need to sell more weapons and bullets and political donations to a membership that actually overwhelmingly supports reasonable gun control? Say the government is coming for your guns with...
Extremes.
Want to invade a country, destabilize an already shaking region of the only planet we have, and put the world down a dark, dark path? Say this.
There are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Is extremes for me?
Sure thing, Glenn Beck.
What about me?
You betcha, Sarah Palin.
And me, Michelle Bachman.
As with any medication, overdoses are possible. Do not take more extremes than prescribed by your doctor, pastor, or Koch brother.
Hi, I'm Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And because of falling oil prices, my state is probably going to face a major budget crisis soon, crippling our ability to maintain the facade of being totally self-sufficient. I know the hammer will come down on me and those supporting the system I inherited and maintained unless I distract my followers with something totally retarded. So, I just pop in extremes and bam-o! Everybody get down! Jade Helm! The black man's federales are coming! Whatever happens next is their fault.
Extremes should not be mixed with piloting, parenting, or candidacy for the Democratic presidential nomination. Past results do not guarantee future earnings.
Extremes.
Extreme. Like a fox.
The Final Edition Radio Hour presents 10 guide tips for New York City's hottest tourist attraction, the fabulous Meatpacking District. Number 1.
Stay the fuck away from me. I live here and I don't like you.
Number 2.
Visit the wonderful, iconic High Line. It's packed rail to rail with people just like you and it overlooks some of downtown Manhattan's most scenic parking lots.
Number 3.
What's that? It's that way. No, not that way. That way. Right. Just keep walking east and you'll hit it.
Number 4.
Stay the fuck away from restaurants I frequent. Not that there are any left.
Number 5.
I recommend you make your New York home the Standard Hotel. It's trendy, snooty, super expensive, and best of all, it overlooks the High Line.
Number 6.
Get off my damn street. You'll know you're on it when you hear a bitter old man screaming from his window, "Get off my damn street!"
Number 7.
The New Whitney is nice if you can fight your way through the crowds, the hot dog vendors, and the pickpockets. Bonus feature, it overlooks the High Line.
Number 8.
Pastis is the one restaurant not to miss in the Meatpacking District. For fine cuisine, authentic French bistro atmosphere, and celebrity spotting, you can't beat it. Only drawback, it closed a year ago.
Number 9.
Most neighborhoods on the planet don't even have one Christian Louboutin shoe store. Mine has two. By all means, spend a year's salary and buy a pair. Then walk out onto the quaint cobblestone street. I'll be the one laughing dialing 911.
And the number 10 tip for New York City's hottest tourist attraction, the fabulous Meatpacking District, is...
Just one block west of colorful, bustling Washington Street, main artery of the fabulous Meatpacking District, is the historic Hudson River. Climb over the railing, jump in.
Do you like bacon?
Sure, sometimes.
Then
but...
come on and get your big, beefy bacon.
We interrupt this program with some breaking news. Iggy Azalea has said in Vogue that On Fleek is over. So, On Fleek is officially over. I repeat, On Fleek is over.
Did you hear the news? On Fleek is over. On Fleek is over? On Fleek, totally over. But what about my On Fleek eyebrows? They're totally on fleek.
No, now they're just eyebrows.
Oh my God, what are we going to do?
Reports just in. All across America, young women are ripping their no longer on fleek eyebrows off their faces, sometimes with their bare hands, sometimes with small scissors, pen knives, or other sharpened implements, and throwing them into rivers.
Ah, take that, no longer unfleek left eyebrow. Oh!
That's young women throwing their eyebrows into rivers, following Iggy Azalea's assertion that On Fleek is over before half of us even knew what it was yet. We now go live to President Barack Obama.
Young women of America, today we face up to a difficult truth. On Fleek is over. The months ahead, as we witness its slow fade from public life, will be hard to bear. But we have survived the decline of Winning, Dope, and LMK, and this adversity will only make our spirit stronger. For now, let this be of some comfort. Smol is just starting. That's S-M-O-L. Smol. A kitten can be small. A micro pig leaping in grass can be small. You can absolutely have acceptably too small eyebrows. So keep thinking about that and tweeting about that. And don't think about your eroded reproductive rights and the widening pay inequality gap. And now, back to the program.
Nope.
Do you know what causes lupus? That's right. Unions. Motherfucking unions.
A message from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
In anticipation of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you yet another extended original scene from Star Wars.
Don't call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come out before somebody sees you. Secret mission? What plans? What are you talking about? I'm not getting in there. Oh, I'm going to regret this.
There goes another one.
Hold your fire. No life forms. It must have short-circuited.
What are you saying? That's like the fifth time you've told me to hold my fire.
You're shitty at this. I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
The House of Commons has spoken. We at the Canadian Security Intelligence Service can now, for the first time in our history, start doing some official spying overseas, eh? What do you think about that, then?
That's great,
oh, that's great then, eh?
It's time for us to get out of the home rink and into the international spying arena, to live up to the largest flag ever flown at an Olympics closing ceremony, to covertly show the world what Canadians can do.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Ah, good to meet you, eh? I'm Agent Tim, and I brought a couple of regulars to get this meeting happening. One sugar, one cream.
Okay, then. Here's the plan.
Exciting.
I'll navigate the center mage, decode the supercomputer, snatch the world's largest ruby from the space laser, and be back in the casino before the bomb goes off. You deal with Felicity Swallows. You think you can handle her?
Oh, yeah. I know how the world works. I've been to Toronto.
Meet me back at the Ashton before the clock strikes 11. We must be secretive, swift and certain. The world is depending on us. Good luck, Agent Tim.
Hey, excuse me. Hello.
Ah, come inside, Mr. Spy. I was expecting you.
Ah, so nice of you. Hi, I'm Tim. I'm from Canada. You know, Canada. Wheat, maple syrup, Justin Bieber. Oh, sorry about that.
Enough talking.
Ah, Justin Bieber, eh? Not a big fan. Fair enough, fair enough.
The time has come for you to be introduced to my sharks.
Okay, only please don't go to any trouble for me.
It's almost feeding time.
Oh, sorry. I should have thought about that. Do you want a timbit? I got a box full right here.
A timbit? No, I shouldn't. Atkins.
Ah, but they're so dinky and bite-sized and delicious.
Hmm. They do look pretty tasty.
Snork one. Go on. I won't tell.
Well, just one. And after that, I'm going to throw you to my... so good. Oh, the sugar rush. Whoa. Oh, carbs. Oh, I feel sleepy. So sleepy.
Time to catch a couple of Zeds. Until the Mounties arrive to make an arrest and begin the due process of the law.
Ah-ha-ha! Seems Miss Swallows couldn't swallow Tim's bitch. Nice work. And now let's get out of here, Sharpish. There's a martini, shaken, not stirred, with my name on it back at the Monte Carlo Palace.
Party at the camp, eh? Oh, let's hit the highway. So here's an interesting thing about Canada. Roller skates were actually invented in Canada. And also the paint roller. Not a lot of people know this, but the walkie-talkie was first patented in Canada.
They don't like it when I roll my R's. Here if I do it more. Next on, the final edition.
Okay, I think you should do all of this.
What?
I'm just...
You don't improvise, that you're telling me?
No, I can't improvise this. There's not enough substance to get my teeth into.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to pi squared.
We will be right back after this.
Yeah, do something French. Imagine drinking wine.
Just did.
We'll be back to discuss on the final edition radio hour.
Okay, these are incomprehensible. That's enough.
We'll be back soon with more of the final edition
radio hour.
And now, some more of the final edition radio hour.
Welcome back to the final edition radio hour, continuing our ongoing interview series about satire and its place saving or destroying the world. Our guest this week is Lee Papa, author of the Rude Pundit blog, which is...
rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yeah, no one reads blogs anymore, so it doesn't matter.
He's dead to us.
He's also author of a book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac. He's written some plays. He, for a while, was co-host of the critically acclaimed Cheater and the Rude radio show on Progressive Radio.
That was one of those titles that we sort of crapped out where...
We were ahead of our time. We were two guys talking about politics and being interesting before everybody that's ever been an open mic.
We were being interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we used to complain a lot about how we had to drive and park on the Upper West Side.
Yes. That made us so with the people.
And we were also, I believe our description was that we were satirical ninjas.
That's right. And our wearing black pajamas to the studio helped.
Yes, but it actually made us blend in with the rest of the people there. But enough about those.
I think the big problem is our voices actually sound very much alike.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why I've been able to continue Cheater in the Rude without you for almost 2 years now.
It
and
would
no one
be
knows.
Really easy.
The one fan keeps complaining. He's like, wait a second. Anyway. Lee is here because he uses satire and wit to make some points. I would say your style, particularly on your blog, is... how would you describe it in terms of the use of language and colorful imagery?
I always say that it is a scatological, pornographic take on politics. I think of it as I'm sitting around in a bar talking to people and are we allowed to say bad words?
Yeah, you can say bad words.
Talking shit in a bar and then this is the kind of stuff we come up with. We spin out wild sexual fantasies about various politicians. We say terrible, awful things about them. And so that's what the blog is.
It reminds me actually of a more regularly, artfully done version of an old Bill Hicks joke, which I can't remember the characters. It was basically like, let's say it was like Jesse Helms in a bathtub while Ronald Reagan or Nancy Reagan took a shit in his mouth or something like that.
Well, I mean, there's so many of them. There's the great Paul Krasner piece about LBJ threatening to have sex in the hole in Kennedy's head. So, you know. As far as I go sometimes, and I've gone that far,
right.
But it's been done before.
Right. What do you – has it been a conscious choice? Have there been times when you've thought, I shouldn't do this? What is the response? But like, just speak semi-generally about the use of that sort of imagery and language as opposed to those that would pull back and try to censor themselves.
Yeah. Every time I think I'm about to censor myself, I sort of punch myself in the face.
And push farther.
Yes. And say, you know, if you do that, you're letting some kind of force of censorship work. That said, I will say that there are a couple of words I've pulled back on using because it was just more trouble than it was worth. You know, if all anybody's going to do is read the word cunt and then not read the rest of what you have to say, then, you know, why use the word cunt? And
you want a British readership.
Right, exactly. And when, unfortunately, you know, the Brits and people in Australia, I have a really strangely large Australian contingent of readers.
Huh.
Yeah, I feel as if I went to Australia, I'd be welcomed there as some kind of demigod of
is
American
it Australia,
satire.
Is it Australia that's recently come out from under? Or, no, Australia is a good... I didn't mean that at all. See, that's how brilliant I am. Prime minister who was the total prick. Wait, they have the redheaded prime minister who's good in Australia.
No.
Or do they have the really prick asshole?
They have the prick asshole who denies climate change while Australia is baking to the point where, and this is, I love this about Australia. Australia is baking so badly that they had to come up with new colors on the weather map to show how hot it actually got there.
What? Did they go to the black? Like, how? What is the dark red?
It was. You know what? They may have called it menstrual blood red.
That's good because Mother Earth is.
Yes.
She's returned from menopause, and that's why there are volcanoes all over the earth popping up right now. I thought, sort of combining both your use of colorful imagery and also the importance of satire and free speech, I think it was today or recently you wrote something about this. Pamela Geller, awful person, we all agree worldwide, the shooting in Texas.
Which, by the way, I truly did everything I could to hold back from using the word cunt because, you know, it's – but sometimes it's just a – I usually reserve it for Ann Coulter. That's where I am now.
I think that was actually the first title of her third book.
Yes.
Cunt.
Cunt.
Should have been. But Pam Geller, she deserves it. Did you use that word? I don't remember.
I did not use it.
But you did use a nice image of, and it's a true image, and your point was made, and the idea that she, I don't remember if it was you said you would do it or she should see it, the image of her basically getting fucked by Muhammad and them both saying to each other, what was it?
It's her getting, if I was going to draw something for her Muhammad cartoon show.
Right. We all know, listeners all know, so let's not bother explaining.
Okay. So if I was going to draw something and try to win the $10,000, I would have drawn her on all fours getting fucked in the ass by Muhammad. Not rape. She was wanting it. Mm-hmm. And that she, a bubble coming out of her mouth saying, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'm nothing.
Now, I was remember thinking about that image. And ironically, one of the first times there was a sexual image I didn't spend a long time thinking about. I'm wondering, maybe it should be a joint bubble. Maybe they both are saying, they both are saying at the same time.
That would have been interesting if I'd have had some jihadi that was like, you know, jacking off in her face. You see that there was a whole other level that I missed.
Well, you know, you're not much of an illustrator. So
yes.
If you can, this is kind of the frightening thing I've always thought for myself, and more true for you, is that if you had the drawing skills to match the images in your mind, we'd all be.
I would have been arrested a long, long time ago.
What I found interesting about the Geller thing, and maybe you have, or I'm sure you have thoughts on it, is her attempt to throw herself into martyrdom with, what did she say, Rosa Parks, I think she said. I don't know if she's outright compared herself to
Charlie. No, she outright compared herself to Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks, because she's... Rosa Parks is black and her soul is black. I don't know how
she was oppressed, Pamela Geller.
All her life she's been impressed by being a terrible person and having to deal with it.
Yes.
But also, more importantly, Charlie Hebdo, who we've talked a lot about on the show, Tony had some connections to. Has she outright compared herself to the Charlie Hebdo people?
She's outright compared herself to Charlie Hebdo, essentially saying that she should – I guess we should all be saying je suis Pamela or something like that. Except, you know, she needs to get shot before we say that.
I don't believe we are condoning.
No, we're
violence.
Not. No. I'm not condoning it. I'm saying.
I didn't say you are.
If you're going to claim that you are the same as Charlie Hebdo, then you'd better, you know,
be the same as Charlie Hebdo. Yes. Attempted murder, attempted being just, martyrdom is not just, the same as.
Yes.
Anyway, how did you, as someone who were just talking about using imagery and feeling like sometimes things are not worth the trouble? I think Charlie Hebdo had made a decision that was different that said there's something that's worth the trouble and we're going to keep on doing it.
Well, I think that Charlie Hebdo thought that it really kind of would have been bullshit and unfair to not attack Islam in the same way that they attack Judaism and Christianity. Mm. I mean, if you look through some of the covers, I mean, there are some amazing anti-Christian ones. There are some and it's, again, it's not that it's anti- they're not attacking really the the people as much as they're attacking ideas. You know,
right.
I think Jeffrey Goldberg actually wrote about that today. They were equal opportunity and still are equal opportunity offenders, and in fact, rarely ever put religion on the front of their magazine. So were they being deliberately provocative, but I think that what they were trying to do is say that this is not what Islam is, and unfortunately, it's been seen by some, even some on the left, as being Islamophobic. I think Glenn Greenwald has called it hate speech. You know, what they were doing, is it funny? You know what? There's an occasional thing now and then that's kind of funny. Mostly it's sort of that crude, you know, French humor,
right.
that French love a good fart or a good shit joke for some reason.
Jerry Lewis was huge over there.
Yes.
Because
yes.
of all his scatological rape jokes.
That's it. That's it.
He
so.
Didn't get a lot of those. Do you think I totally lost my train of thought thinking about Jerry Lewis doing scatological? Hey, lady, shit on my face.
By the way, that's the second shit on my face thing that you've said.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't just interpret something I said as meaning shit on my face?
No, I believe if we rewind the tape here,
we don't have that technology.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have that. Well, third time's a charm, literally. So have you – I mean, what I always found interesting about the Charlie Hebdo discussion and then with Geller is the people that always claim that their free speech rights are being trampled in America, when all that's really happening is, for instance, we stop shopping at Chick-fil-A, or we, you know, we say, I don't like what you're saying, shut up, or we ask you to leave a university, which is sometimes an overreaction, but it's not literally killing you and it's not stopping you from saying – like Pamela Geller can go say and do all the stupid shit she wants. She just has to deal with the consequences.
Right, right. Let me tell you how much free speech is threatened in the United States. Today I don't even remember where the link was from, but it took me to a petition on the White House website.
Mm-hmm.
That was a petition for Barack Obama to hang himself to death live on TV. The rationale was that, you know, we don't want somebody to kill him because he'll become a martyr then, and, you know, you don't want that to happen. Now, it had only collected 371 signatures, which...
What's the threshold to actually get it considered?
It's like 100,000.
Okay.
So it's not like at any point somebody's going to have to say, no, Barack Obama's not going to hang himself on live television.
Or no, we're not secretly building a Death Star like Mandela.
Right,
or something
right,
like that.
Right. So, but it was.
But it's there.
That's free speech. You
yeah.
want free speech? There you go. Somebody just was in, wanted the president to die live on TV. So, you know, kind of go fuck yourself if you somehow think that your free speech is being abridged just because you don't seek to outright provoke someone, and you know, that's
or just because you don't have a TV show, you don't have free speech. That's not free speech violation. That's just the TV is stupid.
Right.
I mean, that's what gets me. People like will lose a show. Like Rush Limbaugh, when they were talking about trying to get rid of him, like losing his advertisers, like, no, he can still fucking write rushlimbaugh.blogspot.com. I mean, like, there's still
and nobody will read him.
Like,
yes.
No, you have quite a readership.
I'm probably in. I found out, though, that I'm in I'm a part of the 1% on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. If you have above 10,000
that
followers,
makes you 1%.
That makes you in the top 1%. Well, if you think about it, there's like 900 billion people on Twitter.
I was going to say.
You know.
I feel like everybody I look at has like 100,000 or something. And it's just more jealousy feeding because I'm a soulless person.
I know. Well, you know, you look at it and you go, who the fuck is this guy
right.
that has 100,000 people? You know, and if you start measuring your life by that, and I'm sorry, Jeff, that you do, but.
I have mismeasured my life. In so many ways. I don't even give it anymore. Is there anything, a topic you want to talk about, a project you want to work on, anything particularly on your mind?
I mean,
I think, actually voiced Rush Limbaugh for us 2 years ago.
I really did that,
remember
didn't
that?
I? Yeah.
It was good. We have a video of that online.
Do you? It's
Inside Rush Limbaugh. But anything, anything you want to talk about, too. The listeners to the show are wonderful people.
Yeah. Is there anything that – I mean, you know, I think that I feel very depressed about the election coming up.
Because of the inevitability and unsexiness of it?
I mean, it's the inevitability. You know, it's like, all right, are we really – I think I said a couple of months ago, are we really going to have to go through the next, you know, nearly 20 months at that time before Hillary beats Jeb Bush?
We're going to get sidetracked into another discussion, but sure. Do you give any – there's two things about Hillary that have recently come across. One is the fact, for me, she came out and her first as official candidate thing was, I'm going to overturn Citizens United. And she said something else. I forget what it was, but I feel like, excuse me, I was convinced she was just going to play safe right down the middle.
I heard your sketch earlier.
But she actually, I mean, you know,
she wants to expand on Obama's immigration policies. She just announced that today.
Which I don't know if that's a way to say, hey, lefties, get a little excited for me, because the big problem is she's worried that lefties won't be excited for her or what it is.
You know, I wrote something that I got a lot of grief for, which was, and this was before Bernie Sanders got in, and I was wrong in that, and I said that Bernie Sanders wasn't going to get in because there was a point where Sanders was saying, I don't want to do anything to prevent a Democrat from winning.
Right. And he's not running as an independent. He's running
He's running as a Democrat.
And he'll probably say, don't vote for me once at the generals. But anyway.
Right. So, but it was shut. Could we all just shut the fuck up and support Hillary on the left? You know, because we do this all the time. We chase that liberal unicorn and we think that somehow there's going to be somebody that's going to come along and be that person. And because we do that, we end up in opposition to whoever the major candidate is, and we are not part of the conversation. We're not. Instead, it could be, hey, why don't we support Hillary? And now let's talk policy. We're on your team. Now let's talk about what we want.
Right. Which, in a way, is I think what maybe Hillary is seeing is actually going to happen, and she's bringing to the table ideas that I think are fairly to the left of what you thought she would be, more center. She thought she'd already be planning the general election, and it seems like she's actually giving credence to what does the left want.
Well, but it's not like she's taking – I mean, you know –
she's not extreme left.
But even the liberal positions she's taking are actually pretty popular, you know. Right. She's certainly not going to – you know, I think on immigration, not only – I mean, there
is – Well, all the left's ideas are pretty popular.
They are, except in a few districts except in conservative states.
Right.
You know what I love, though? Just one more Hillary Clinton thing. I fucking love that she's going before the Benghazi committee again.
Oh, yeah.
I think she is going to pants those guys and just rip their nuts off.
This is what I think Hillary has finally done. She took 4 years off of being a politician or whatever, 2.5 from Secretary of State. And she's like, F it. Like, what does she have to lose?
Yeah.
Like, and I would love to see that. Will it last? Who knows? I mean, but she's been in the spotlight and been relentlessly attacked for 20 years now?
Yeah,
26?
Yeah.
I mean, like, good for her just to say effort.
What the hell are they going to say at this point?
What are they going to say? What are they going to do? And if I lose, so who cares?
You're right.
She's done plenty. I mean, like,
right.
She's probably – is she the most accomplished female politician in American history? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can make an argument that a Barbara Boxer or something
right.
like
I
that.
Right. I mean, the longevity of career. But, like, as far as – anyway. We started rambling, and this is why we did the show in the first place, our show. But
yes.
Now we're doing this show, which is the Final Edition Radio Hour. I've been talking with Lee Papa, author of the Rude Pundit blog. Tell me the address again for people.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Go check him out. Every day he posts something awesome, and we'll be back after this.
Tony, we got to come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the Final Edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this like blah, 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 dot, 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 www, URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a .38 Magnum to its head and the legend, buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog.
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Freckles? Oh, there. Good boy.
Yay!
What's the matter then?
Also, meet my .38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Uh-uh. Give him a good, Jeff.
Oh, my God, poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling the SPCA.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get you crazy
thug! Good job, Freckles! Get him! Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreisler for the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
Ooh, baby. Come on down and come on down for some viral, viral porn.
Viral, viral porn?
It's so hot.
You're so hot.
That's because I have a virus. Viral, viral porn. It's viral porn that just keeps thrusting up and up and up on your screen forever, eating out your hard drive's gaping pussy with its hungry, moist mouth. Also, wordplay. It's porn about viruses.
Oh, sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Come on over here, you small infectious agent, and get inside my organism.
Oh, you know, I didn't think I'd be into it, but actually, I kinda am.
Let me see your naked membrane.
Oh, yeah.
Thrust that genetic material deep into me. Ah, baby, hot and full of RNA. Recruit my enzymes. Take me over with your matrix protein. Let's get an epidemic started up in here.
Viral, viral porn. Coming soon to a click-through near you.
How much do you know about bears? Click here to take a quiz. Question 1. Where do bears shit? A. In the woods. B. Not in the woods. Correct. Question 2. The Pope is to Catholicism as a bear is to A. Shitting in the woods. B. Not shitting in the woods. Correct. Question 3. Are you currently taking this quiz while on holiday with your parents in a nature reserve while you should be looking at and appreciating the magnificent splendor of nature? A. Yes. B. No. Oh, ho, 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 you're such a rebel. Question 4. Can you even remember the name of this nature reserve that it cost your parents a bunch of money to take you on vacation to? A. Yosemite. B. Or Yo... I have no idea. Ha 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 ha! You're hilarious. Question 5. Is that a bear sneaking up behind you? A. Just kidding. B. Nature always wins.
In anticipation of the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you yet another extended original scene from Star Wars.
The approach will not be easy. You are required to maneuver straight down this trench and skim the surface to this point. The target area is only 2 meters wide. It's a small thermal exhaust port right below the main port. The shaft leads directly to the reactor system. A precise hit will start a chain reaction which should destroy the station. Only a precise hit will set up a chain reaction. The shaft is ray shielded, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes.
That's impossible, even for a computer!
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Excuse me, but who the fuck is this guy?
I'm Luke Skywalker from Tatooine.
And all of a sudden you're calling the fucking shots? You've been here for like an hour and you're telling me what to do.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you shoot womp rats. Great. You ever shoot 2-meter womp rats with other spaceships trying to kill you? That ever happen?
Well, no.
I've been doing this for a shitload. I heard you shot down a couple TIE fighters and now you think you're Obi-Wan badass. I'm Red 2. Red 2! Go back to your fucking womp rats.
I have the Force?
Oh, Jesus.
He's right, Luke. Jesus.
This portion of the show was brought to you by
New Clard. Now with added red dots and drunk.
All rights reserved.
Gosh, honey. New Clard with red dots and drunk.
Yes, honey.
Is this an improvement over regular Clard?
Is it ever. New Clard with red dots and drunk delivers virtually 70% more.
Whoa.
Factor.
All rights reserved.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
You first, David.
All righty. New drunk not only has red dots, but now delivers virtually 70% more.
Whoa!
Factor.
All right, reserved.
What do you think, David? Can you taste the difference?
I guess so. Say, wait a minute. Isn't Drawk just Clard spelled backwards?
Ow! Let go of my arm! Where are you taking me?
All rise, the Honorable Judge Ramsey presiding.
You stand accused of maligning a corporate person, causing great emotional harm, and the potential loss of revenue. How do you plead?
Guilty, Your Honor. I throw myself upon the mercy of the court. I honestly didn't know Clard was different than Drawk. I mean, I know they're different and all that, but...
Prosecution, do you have any questions before sentencing?
Yes, Your Honor. If I may approach the accused.
Go ahead.
I have here in my hand Exhibit A. Can you tell us what this object is?
Yes, sir. New Clard with red dots and Drawk.
What? Please speak up so the court can hear you.
New Clard with red dots and Drawk.
Have you ever tasted anything so delicious before?
Of course not. It delivers. It delivers virtually 70% more.
What?
Factor.
All right, reserve.
Then old Clard. Or Drawk. I mean...
Oh, David!
Helen, I didn't mean it. Don't send me back there. They put things on my nipples. It's all lies. They're the ones who should be in chains, not me.
Restrain that man. Bailiff. Bailiff. Restrain that man. Somebody grab him.
Helen, over here. It's me.
David, why didn't you write? It's been almost a year since you escaped.
But I haven't escaped. They're still after me. They'll always be after me. I hide in rooms all day and travel by night. No friends, no rest, no peace.
Oh, David!
Keep moving. That's all that's left for me. Forgive me, Helen. But Drawk really is just Clard, spelled backwards.
Oh, David, it was all going to be so different.
I've got to go.
Can't you tell me where you're going? Will you write?
No.
Do you need any money? But you must, David. How do you live?
I steal.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
All right, reserve.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
All right, reserve.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
All right, reserve.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
All right, reserve.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself? Hey, try it for yourself!
All right,
reserve. Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Abby Parker, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Leslie Shapira, Kurt Weitzman, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.